Welcome back to Communication Breakdown. Coming to you from Studio C on WCGO 1590. Now, we had some bad news. We lost another celebrity, as we were talking about earlier.
I mean, it's tragic. Once we started this show, we keep losing amazing artists.
Don't blame yourself, Stoner.
I'm trying not to, but it's hard.
Yeah, 2016 has no chill so far when it comes to celebrity death. No. But we lost a big one in David Bowie. And me and Stoner were talking about this over the course of the week. We know David Bowie was awesome. You grow up being told how awesome David Bowie is. Mm-hmm. He was an artist, musician, singer, songwriter, producer, painter, actor.
Exactly. Well, that's why we were told he was awesome.
Exactly.
Because we grew up with The Labyrinth.
But nobody, I feel people in our generation, early 30s, mid to late 20s,
mm-hmm.
they know David Bowie was awesome, but they don't know why. David Bowie
was
awesome.
Blame it on the millennials, I guess.
I guess
so. That's the way to do it.
Or our parents for not properly showing us. I mean, I know all about Billy Joel, but I don't know crap about David Bowie. So what I wanted to do was spend this segment kind of going over his career, playing some of his greatest hits. A lot of songs you probably didn't even realize were David Bowie that were his greatest hits.
Sampled by a whole bunch of people.
Exactly. I'm looking at you, Vanilla Ice. So to help us with this, we've brought on Steve Kay, owner of Vintage Vinyl here in Evanston, 925 Davis Street. Been there since 1979. Go to vvmo.com for more information. Steve, welcome to Communication Breakdown.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, since the unfortunate death of David Bowie, have you seen any sort of spike in sales for his albums, or was there always a pretty constant people wanting his stuff?
Well, I don't think there would have been a line waiting for us on Monday morning when we got here had he not passed away just because of that. I mean, it really sparked a huge amount of interest and curiosity in people, and the fact that his passing coincided with the release of his brand new album, mm-hmm. I think really even made people more just baffled by the entire event.
Now, is that a pretty common sentiment throughout the record store industry? A lot of your compatriots in that regard saying the same thing? Been a lot of demand for his albums in the last week?
Yeah, I mean, everything has... I mean, copies of the new album are completely sold out. It's gone into several additional pressings. I mean, we are completely sold out at the moment. We'll have more in a couple of days, but it's a pretty unique situation.
Well, my question about this new album, do you think he knew it was coming? Do you think he knew the end was coming and he wanted to get this out as his final message?
Well, from everything that I've read, absolutely that was the situation. He knew that he was going to be passing away. He knew this was going to be his last completed work, although I have read now that he was already working on new material. At a certain point, I think he felt that the medicinal situation was going to turn his condition around and mm-hmm. he would actually be able to work on a follow-up album. So there are some songs apparently that have been written and finished, but whether we ever see them or not, that's another question.
So,
but clearly he did know that this was going to be the final mm-hmm. message.
All right, so let's go ahead and start at the beginning. David Robert Jones, born David Robert Jones. Everybody knows him as David Bowie. Born and raised in South London. Musician, singer, songwriter, producer, painter, actor. I think most people would just say he's an artist. A lot mm-hmm. of people you see, a lot of celebrities, they may be a singer with a lot of help from auto-tune. They may be this, they may be that, but I don't know if you would consider them artists. David Bowie was absolutely an artist. His first big hit, I think everybody knows, Space Oddity, released in 1969. Ground control to major. Just let it play. Just let it play, man. Ground control to Major Tom. This was actually his first top five song in the UK. This is his first big hit right here. Take your protein pills and put your helmet dawn. Is this, was this the first David Bowie song that you heard, Steve, or did you not get into it until a little later?
Oh, no, this, I mean, it absolutely was the first track that I knew about, although once that happened, it was easy enough to start moving backwards and finding out some of the stuff that he did prior.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did that.
Yeah.
His next big hit was in 1970, The Man Who Sold the World. Do we have that one queued up? I don't know if I threw it in there or not.
I don't think so. But,
I don't think so.
But that was a great song that almost has a political kind of tone to it. And that's kind of why I like how he never came out and just laid it out on the table.
Yeah.
Everything that he always did was always almost subconscious and a lot of imagery. Do you think that was the case, Steve? Is that how you feel about it?
Well, I do, but I would like to interject something that may clarify this a little bit for you. The Man Who Sold the World album was not a hit at all. It wasn't until many years later that it got reissued on a different label that people actually began to find out about it, and that was because of Ziggy Stardust. So The Man Who Sold the World came and went without any celebration whatsoever. There was no real follow-up to Space Oddity until Ziggy came out.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing to know about that record is that when it was issued in the UK, the controversial fact about that record was that he appeared on the cover wearing a dress. And so that caused, even in light of how great the record was, and most people never even paid attention to that, it was the fact that here was this guy on the cover of his album wearing a dress.
Oh, exactly, because he was almost a fashion trendsetter. I mean, once it was crazy that David Bowie did it, I mean, look at how the fashion kind of went towards what he did, wearing makeup and everything else.
It wasn't really just the fashion statement. It was also, it had more to do with sexuality and the freedom that he was basically trying to get people to understand. And so the fashion part of Bowie really happened after 1972 when he appeared as Ziggy. And that's when people really began to pay very close attention to the way a band or a performer would present himself. And so it wasn't simply about the music at that point, but it had a lot to do with the presentation as well.
Exactly. He was making a character. He was becoming Ziggy himself.
Exactly. And another thing is the band that he put together for the Man Who Sold the World album, a lot of those guys, that's basically the band that would become the Spiders from Mars.
Yeah.
This, of course, playing right now is Starman off the 1972 release, his arguably to this day his most famous album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. This and after this one, I think his next major hit was his first major American crossover hit anyway, was Young Americans. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was not well received in the UK by his fans.
He, at that point, once again, was changing direction and image and everything else that went along with it. So, you know, people in general are not really adaptable to change. And so when you know somebody as being one thing and then you wake up in the morning and you find that he's somebody else, it takes a little while to adapt to that.
Mm-hmm. And this was also the time where he was kind of becoming his new persona, moving from Ziggy Stardust to the Thin White Duke, which was a character from a movie he was in called The Man Who Fell from Earth. And also at this time, he was completely coked out of his head.
Yeah.
But we'll get into more of that here shortly. We got to go to break. You are listening to Communication Breakdown on 1590 WCGO. We've got Steve Kay, owner of Vintage Vinyl in Evanston. And we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Communication Breakdown on 1590 WCGO. This, of course, is The Man Who Sold the World.
Yeah, some great flange on the voice, too.
Yeah, that's David Bowie, man. We're continuing our talk about David Bowie. I didn't really intend for this to be a David Bowie-heavy show, but it's kind of turning into that.
Hey, I'm not complaining.
Not at all. With us is Steve Kay, owner of Vintage Vinyl, 925 Davis Street in Evanston. You can check them out there. Been there since 1979. Or you can go to vvmo.com and see some of the records they have there. But you need to go into the store because they have any song, any album, any artist.
It is a collector's paradise in there.
You go in there and you're just blown away by everything they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, oh, wow, there's an entire basement of albums, too. Steve, thank you very much for joining us. Where we last left off on the David Bowie saga, he had just kind of went from Ziggy Stardust to the Thin White Duke, which was a character from The Man Who Fell from Earth. And this came out in 1976. Now, in 1977, I think he kind of realized, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he kind of realized he had a bad, bad coke problem. So,
well, he absolutely did.
So from there, he moved to Berlin in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, I don't want to say completely cleaned up, but he kind of cleaned up a little bit, started painting a little bit more, and he came out with what's known as the Berlin Trilogy, which is Low, Heroes, and then in 1979, Lodger. Tell us a little bit about those albums.
Well, those albums were, once again, another breakthrough period for him as well as for the perception of the public. Bowie, at that point, was very enamored with the German electronic bands that were going on in the early to mid-70s. And he took a lot from people like Kraftwerk and a band called Neu and a band called Can. These were bands that were making very deep impressions on him as an artist and a musician. And he began to incorporate their musical sensibilities into his own.
Okay. That sounds like an amazing trip right there. I mean, almost like a spiritual journey that he was going on because he realized he had such a problem. He wanted to get some help.
Absolutely. I think it was, on some level, a way for him to remove himself from the scene that he had around him and mm-hmm. to sort of isolate himself into this other world. The other thing to keep in mind, though, is that he brought Iggy Pop along with him at a certain point. And the drug issues may have quelled a little bit, but what they did to that city just in terms of their energy level was another thing.
And then the 80s hit. And we had the new wave pop era. He came out in 1980 with Scary Monsters and Super Creepers with the song Ashes to Ashes. Once again, kind of reinventing himself a little bit more. Once again, mentioning Major Tom.
Exactly, because that was essentially his first persona.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
And if you look at his image at that point, he was absolutely sort of going back, moving forward, trying to create something like a mashup of everything that he had invented up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, in 1981, And in my opinion, this is my favorite David Bowie song with Queen, Under Pressure. Mm-hmm.
Steve, how did this matchup come together?
I think a lot of it had to do with the studio that the record was being recorded in. I'm not exactly sure at this point. My memory's a little lacking on how he and Freddie got together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to remember that Freddie also started out as being very influenced by David, and not just in the music, but also in the appearance. So the image that Queen had prior to a certain point was also very glam, very transsexual. I mean, it was mm-hmm. very, very lifted from the Bowie canon.
Because he essentially opened the door.
Well, absolutely.
He opened the door for everybody to literally experience themselves through him or through music, because he was so broad in so many different genres that you could find something that David Bowie did or was in or produced that you could actually fall into.
That's for sure.
I think, and I think in a lot of ways people could look at David Bowie and say, this is a guy who's reinventing himself and expressing himself however he wants, you know, normal boundaries be damned. So I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a very big following at a certain point, you know, the glam explosion that took off around Bowie, and also thanks to a guy by the name of Mark Bolan, who had a band called T-Rex, who was friends with Bowie and at some point they worked together. But there was a whole movement of bands spurred on by that initial explosion of glam rock.
And then in 1983, he came out with arguably his most popular album. This was definitely his biggest one of the 80s, Let's Dance, featuring the hit China Girl, among others.
Well, Let's Dance actually was his first number one record.
Yeah. Really?
First I actually like record? Let's Dance. A lot of people don't. I actually like that song.
Well, it just kind of depends on your taste of what you like. You would say this is your favorite David Bowie album, Sonar?
For this one, I really like this one. But you can't go wrong with Ziggy. Like, that's
where
the
it all
thing.
Started.
Like, that's it. That's where he just exploded. And I've got a lot more feeling towards Ziggy than I do do this one, I think. This is 280s for me.
A little 280s. Really. Just 280s. Like this reminds me of The Wedding Singer. I think they were in the club, and they were listening to this song in the background.
I'm so sorry you put that image in my head.
So which of the albums is just flying off the shelves right now, Steve? Which one can I not get?
Well, I mean, Black Star for sure is the one that is now completely out of print. I mean, they've gone into second pressing. I mean, we should have more soon.
I knew I should have picked it up Friday.
Well, you know, we had actually had them in on Thursday, so a lot of our regular people knew, and everybody was here, and, you know, by Friday, the whole thing was, like, just over the top, and by Saturday, we were just about sold out, and certainly by Monday morning, it was completely done.
Now,
so, you know, that's the one that most people are, and that's an incredible thing when you think about it, because it's really his most obtuse record. I mean, he's working with free jazz musicians from New York, people that he never worked and recorded with prior to this. So it, once again, has changed the sound and the vision that he put out there into the world. Now, what would have happened had he not passed away 2 days later, there's no way to really know. But what will be interesting is to see how people actually connect with this record. You know, the fact that is that, you know, it's his final statement. But beyond that, if you can look at it as a pure musical statement, well, that's going to be very interesting to see where it actually ends up in terms of his body of work.
This is Lazarus, the first single off that album. Listen to the beginning of it. Just listen to the lyrics. kind of says it all right there. I've got scars. Now, Tony Visconti, the producer of this album, said that Bowie called him up a week before this was released, a week before his death, rather. And Bowie was actually wanting a follow-up to this album. That's what he planned.
Okay.
He already had about five songs that he wrote that were in various forms of pre-production. And he was going to come out with a brand new album. Fortunately, a few days later, he died of cancer at the age of 69. Yesterday, he was privately cremated in New York. And unfortunately, that's the end.
That is the end. Lazarus.
That's his legacy.
I mean, he's coming back in a big way.
Absolutely. So if you don't have that album yet, go get that album. And go get that album at Vintage Vinyl down in Evanston. I believe it's 925 David Street. Steve K., owner of Vintage Vinyl, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to go out here, not with David Bowie. We're going to go out with your band, The Mixture.
Another great band. Give us just the rundown real fast about your band. It's a three-piece. If you don't include that amazing jacket. but if you'd like to go check them out, it's themixtureband.com. And tell us just a little bit about it while we play this awesome tune.
Well, the band is made up of myself on bass and vocals, Hannah Gray on vocals and percussion, and Chris Flood on guitar.
Okay.
And we are just about ready to release our debut album, which will be hitting in the spring. We're not saying anything about the cover. It may or may not have a pink jacket on it. We don't know. but we really appreciate all the support that we've had over the last year. We've played some amazing shows. We've opened for some amazing bands. And this looks like it's going to be our big year. So we're very, very excited.
Where's the next show, Steve?
Well, we're working on something right now for mid-February, but I can't really talk about that until we actually sign the dotted line. But that will all be announced on the website as well as through the Vintage Vinyl website, too.
Wonderful. You can find Steve K. and The Mixture at themixtureband.com. If you want to go meet Steve, go to Vintage Vinyl, 925 Davis Street here in Evanston, and he will always talk music with you. Thank you very much for being on the show with us. You're listening to Communication Breakdown here on 1590 WCGO.